for any of our visitors, if you haven't signed in yet, if you could please sign in, we would appreciate that.
Under C, resolve that superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the agenda. Motion by Richard.
Second.
Seconded by Leonard. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we have time for a public comment. We'll allow 5 minutes for public comment if anybody would like to address the board. Everybody is so quiet.
It's too warm.
Yeah. Okay, we will move on to presentations. We have a presentation on the high school counseling services.
Yes, I'm pleased to present to you Dr. Susan Dodd, who is the coordinator of school counseling programs at Plattsburgh State University. Susan is, here we are back here. Susan, as you will recall, Dr. Dodd was asked to conduct a study on our behalf, on the board's behalf, of the counseling services department that we provide here at Beekmantown Central School District. I know she has spent a considerable amount of time on campus this past year in multiple meetings with individuals in the counseling office, as well as teachers, and has some survey information, I believe, that was used with parents as well. But is here this evening to conclude the results of her study and is here to share that information with you. So I would certainly welcome Dr. Dodd with us and encourage the board to move on this side of the room, if you will, and we'll do a PowerPoint presentation. And the audience certainly can too as well.
It's a pleasure to be here, honestly. This, when I was asked to come on board and kind of help evaluate the counseling program, I was happy to do so. But I have to say it's been a very, very positive experience all the way around, because it's not easy for anyone really to be under the microscope. And the counseling department here and the administrators have been very, very open to asking questions, giving me information. If I ask them for any data, they provided it right away, and have been very eager to try and learn from this experience and anything that they could do for self-improvement. So that's been a very pleasurable experience for me and being here. That's really an ideal situation. So where I'd like to start is the same place where I started when I started with the counseling department and working with Mr. Fichette, and that's explaining that the angle that I come from is looking at framing the counseling program within a national model. A lot of people don't know that there are actually national standards for what a counseling program should look like, measurable outcomes for improving student success, for lowering dropout rates, and improving graduation rates, as well as helping the students in a mental health sort of way that we might expect a counseling program to do. It just so happened that as I came on board to help this counseling program, I'm also teaching a class to school counselors on how to build such a program in their futures, what kind of things they need to do, what type of data they need to collect, and how to start from that. Now, the finished product of that looks a little like this, which is overwhelming, and I'll be leaving this here to, if anyone has the time or the inclination, you may certainly look over it, but this is something that my students worked with the counseling department here to help build. And so now this is our model that we can go by in the future for, making sure that we're collecting the right kind of data. But there's a starting point for all of this, and the starting point is, what are the needs of our school? What are the needs of our community? What do our students feel are important? All of those things. So what we needed to do was take a needs assessment. So the counseling department worked together and looked at the national standards. The national standards cover three key areas, and those are academic, career, personal, and social. So all of the things that the counseling department does fall somewhere into one of those three categories. So looking at those standards, they developed a needs assessment asking, okay, which areas of those three areas are most important? What do our students value? What do our parents value? What do our teachers value? Because what you want to see is some kind of cohesion or agreement that we all kind of value the same things. And which specific areas within those three categories do we really need to focus our efforts? Because before we jump off and start planning and offering services, we need to make sure that we are meeting the needs of what people say is valuable. So what I'm going to show you now are the results of those three surveys that we administered. Now this is tiny, I realize, and board members have this in your pocket. But what this is results from three different surveys, all regarding academic achievement. These are the parents, students, and teachers were all asked the same questions, and they were supposed to rank each one in order of importance. And the reason why I put all three of these up here at once is because you want to focus on the red and orange bars, which are these first two bars, because if you look at the legend, you'll see that those are the areas that respondents place the most importance or the most value on. So when you see areas of high red and high orange, that means I value this a lot. This is something that's important that I want to be in my curriculum that I don't want to see go away. And if you look just, you know, holistically at the three graphs, you see that there's quite a bit of agreement between the three areas and what's valued and the amount of value that's placed on each one of those. There's a little bit more variance on the student responses. Some of the student responses might have been spread out a little bit more. There might not have been as much emphasis as you saw on parents and teacher responses. But in looking at each one of those items, they tended to be areas like in academic achievement. If you look at number three, at the top one here, you can see that there's very little red and orange and a lot of yellow. So looking at that question is, students should know more about high school. Well, the high school students are already here and they know everything anyway, so they probably think, well, that's not very important. But other than that, there tends to be a lot of agreement, and this is a good thing, because if there is a lot of spread here, if there are things that teachers value that students didn't or that parents didn't, that's really hard to work with. But when you have a lot of agreement, then we're all on the same page for what we value. Between the parent and staff responses and what's valued, there's a little bit more spread in what students see as valuable. Again, item number three here is most notable because there's more spread 1 to 5 on how much this item is valued. This particular item is parents' level of involvement in career education. So students are saying that's not so important, and teachers and parents are saying yes, it is. Well, and items like that, who might we listen to a little bit more? Probably the teachers and the parents. Now, how does this fit into planning? As part of the program, and this one is really tiny, but I have just a couple of examples to make on here. As far as planning, counselors have a curriculum to follow. Up until now, and most places do not, keep a written record of the curriculum that they follow because it's not mandated. And so most counseling departments are going to say, this is a lot of work, I'm doing other things, I'm meeting with students, I'm presenting on graduation requirements, I don't have time to put this together. But putting this together makes sure that we're meeting everyone's needs. Just like teachers plan their academic curriculums to make sure that they're reaching everyone, counselors can do the same thing and keep record of it. and have some kind of measurable indicator at the end to see if our intervention is effective. We want to measure that to know if what we're doing is really working, because if not, we're working really hard and we may not be doing what our students need. So, counselors have standards just like teachers have standards. When they write out the curriculum, they're looking through the standards, and not only are they addressing their own counseling standards, they can also incorporate ELA standards, whichever other academic standards might meet up with that as well. New York State has something they call crosswalking, which would include academic standards and with counseling standards. So in looking, I bring that up because I'm looking at this graph here, and this is on the personal social indicators of what's important. One thing that really stood out to me here is the last item in this upper column for students. And that indicator was, it's important to help students feel good about themselves. And so the students are telling us, this is something that I need. Obviously, we know their parents want the students to feel good about themselves. Hopefully, teachers do too, and students do. And so that's an area that needs to be addressed. So in planning their curriculum for this year, counselors are going to find a way to incorporate, you know, some of these personal social standards into the lessons or activities that they're already doing. And that can be done through their lessons that they're giving, through the information that they might be giving on scholarship information. Any other kind of academic area can always have some of the personal social standards incorporated in there too. We've seen that it's a need, we've seen that it's valued, and so this is how we're going to address it. So this is a starting point. Looking at all of these graphs will help them, and we've just gotten all of this data together. So this is a good starting point for planning the curriculum and what that's going to look like. And assessing at the end. There always needs to be some kind of measurable indicator to see if what I hoped would happen really has happened. In addition to that type of curriculum plan, there's also more targeted types of interventions, which I've mentioned with the counselors, and we've discussed at length about, you know, not just planning an academic curriculum under the counseling standards, but looking for where the specific needs are in the school, such as if there's a problem with discipline referrals, having a more targeted intervention with those students that are struggling, and also keeping record of what those interventions are, and finding a way at the end to measure whether they were successful or not. So all of those things are part of this notebook here, and again, this is called the ASCA model. It stands for the American School Counselor Association model, and the ASCA Corporation actually has a national recognition that they will award to school counseling programs that meet all of their standards. I didn't include it in your folders because it's quite lengthy, but if you'll see at the end of your folders, there's an executive summary of what ASCA is all about. You can look up any of that information on their website, but they recognize schools who are achieving by a long list of standards. Schools can apply for that, and you know they can hang a flag outside of their school or receive a plaque if they're actually doing those things. But it's a way of saying, I'm a professional, and this is what I'm doing, and it's actually recognized on a national level. This is something that Beekman Town is interested in pursuing, and there are no other districts in the area that have actually pursued that at this point. So that's quite an accomplishment. At this time, I can take any questions that you might have. I know it's a lot of information. Yes?
Anything in particular that surprised you on the data, the feedback?
It surprised me how close the agreement was. I was anticipating, because sometimes you do have you know, differing areas of importance. You know, sometimes you might have a community where parents feel really strongly about one thing and teachers might be sort of on another page, but this tells me that, you know, the community really is in pretty close agreement on these issues.
I've been talking to teachers I can't understand really how they're saying it, but they're trying to say to me that they feel that there's a loss not having counselors below going into elementary.
Yes.
And I'd like you to comment on that, if you would.
A loss by not having an elementary school counselor?
Yeah, nothing at all.
Right. Being that I was an elementary school counselor for 10 years, I'm obviously quite biased. I was busy all day long. I didn't eat lunch until I got in my car on the way home. So I can't imagine that loss. I think it's unmeasurable.
How's that?
Well, because these same standards are K through 12. They're not just for the high school. So in K through 12, or in the elementary school, you're meeting with kids and talking about careers in kindergarten. You're having small groups for kids who have gone through loss or divorce, or who are struggling academically, or who are dealing with bullying, or who have test anxiety. And you're targeting those kids then and giving them the skills that they're going to need later. And you know, kids in elementary school who have that intervention can have a lot of those things resolved by third or fourth grade and not have to deal with that in middle school when they've got all the hormonal and other issues happening at the same time. And you know, the way that I describe it to people is, it's like when you break your arm. If you go and get a cast right away, chances are you're going to be okay. It'll heal the way that it needs to. But if something happens and you go years on years and years before you can actually get help for that, it's never going to heal quite the right way. And I think that's true in mental health, and I think that's true with a lot of the other issues that the kids may be dealing with, whether they're academic or personal.
Mm-hmm. My second question is, do you feel it's beneficial to have a separate administrator in guidance? Besides having a principal there?
The argument could be made either way. I've seen it work just fine. I don't know that I would argue against it. If the question was, is it necessary, I would say absolutely not. I've provided some documentation in your folders as well, what's called a management agreement, which is between a principal and a counselor. They decide at the beginning of the year exactly how the counselors need to be spending their time, each individual counselor and as a department, and what they're going to be responsible for, how they're going to manage their caseload and so forth. So that's done at the beginning of the year. There's also a sample of what an evaluation would look like from a principal to a counselor. And I've also included there, the last piece is a monthly numbers report of, you know, keeping track of all of the information that they're handling. Any other questions?
Well, I'd like to publicly thank Dr. Dodd for all of her time and her effort. She's worked tirelessly. We've called sometimes in the morning, and she's been there in the afternoon. And she's done all of this on her good graces of time and hasn't requested payment for anything. And I just think it's a marvelous commitment to a counseling program that we've been involved with Dr. Dodd, and I want to publicly thank her for all the time and efforts.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, and I'm going to leave this here with you.
On to the superintendent's report.
Thank you. Just one quick update. We held interviews today for a head custodian position. I informed the board of the process we've been going through. Unfortunately, we invited three individuals in for interviews. One never made the appointment. Don't know why. So we did conduct the interviews for the other two. And both Dan and I are uncomfortable making any recommendations based off the two interviews that we held today, which means that we'd really like to buy some time and go back through civil service and see if we can shake loose some more applications. The difficulty with that, of course, is that it takes about a two-week window before we'll get any responses back, so we're going to be without services for a while. So that led me to, and I maybe made reference to it in my update, that perhaps a fallback position could be that we consider promoting temporarily from within an individual who could perform that work in the short term so that we can get some coordination and direction of the day-to-day custodial services And Dan believes that there's, that he has candidates he would be giving strong consideration for to do that if that's the wishes of the board. Now, this would be good, if we proceed with this, this would be good up to the point of the opening of school, because the new job description, of course, changes, it becomes an evening relatively. And so the people who, a person he might be recommending to do it now may not want to be that person if it carries over into the year. By then, we're hoping that we've had more applicants to look at and perhaps be in a better position to make a recommendation to the board. Okay, so that was my only item.
Okay. Any discussion on what we want to do with this?
Just quickly, I don't have any problem with that, but on I think it's connected. Do we also probably want to get somebody else to help now? You know, a body, because we'll be down two.
Yeah.
So, do we want to get somebody temporarily, you know, to help out while we're searching besides that? Because you're going to move one guy up, but we'll still be short another one.
Exactly. So I'm glad you mentioned it that way, because that does pose a manpower issue for us.
So I have no problem with that.
Okay.
Anybody else wants to?
Anyone else have any other discussion? Any problems with moving somebody up and getting somebody temporarily? Is that what we're talking about?
Yep. And it would be both of those would be temporary positions.
Okay.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Okay. Ron?
Just a couple points, some things that are on the agenda. Later on the agenda, I thought I might just bring your attention.
Go ahead.
So when you get there, if you have any questions. One is the new buses are due in latter part of this week, and you'll notice there's a resolution on there for the board to approve the financing of the buses, and that's pretty much what that is. The second thing is there's a couple transfers that are on the agenda, which are typical. One that I wanted to point out was, it's for last year, it's one of those year-end entries to move debt service interest and expense down to the debt service fund. We did that at a June board meeting, but this is an additional one that needs to be done, so that's what that transfers for. The third is, you've probably received something in your update about this, the board will be establishing the tax rate, so now we've got the assessments in from the real property office, and you've seen how the assessments have affected the tax rate and brought the tax rate even lower than what we had anticipated during the budget time, so that is on the agenda as well. And then the last thing is another entry. It's to move money out of the tax cert account back to the general fund, and we had done this again in June. There's another property that we had money in the tax cert account that we discovered during the audit process, and it was for Champlain South Associates. That assessment claim got settled in 2008, and so we need to move that off the tax cert and then transfer the money back to the general fund. That's $75,000. In addition to that, at the next board meeting, we've since had, at this point in time, I think, three new tax cert claims. So what we'll be doing is we'll be doing another transfer out of the general fund back to the tax cert for those individual cases. And at this point, providing that the tax rate goes through as established in the agenda, I think it'll be about half, somewhere around $38,000-$40,000. Unless we receive any more in the next few weeks. But each time we have a new tax cert, we'll be doing a new resolution to move money for that tax cert into this tax cert account. So that's a new process, which we haven't done in the past, but it's one that we're going to begin following in the future. So I wanted to draw your attention to it.
Okay.
That's all my points.
Okay. Any questions? Okay, resolved that the Board of Education does hereby approve the minutes of the meeting of the Board of Education held on July 20th.
Motion.
By Richard.
I'll second it.
I
we have a second first.
Seconded by Stan.
Okay, no.
Okay. Questions?
I didn't vote for the new book or the course. Even though it said it was unanimous.
Joanne, you okay? Oh, no, you weren't. We'll just...
Oh, okay. We'll make the note.
We'll make the note of that. Okay.
What was that? I can find it.
We'll fix the book, yeah. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
So, you're saying
same? Mm-hmm. I remarked on Kim Gagway having a science as her major or whatever, her teaching area. And I didn't have anything to give to the board, so I was wondering if you wanted to have this now so we could do that and get her, not from, not just chemistry, like all the other teachers, they're science, that they're limited to science. This one says just chemistry.
What is that for? What sheet is that?
I think that's for later. I think that's about the book. You know, we're talking about combining the books. Is that what you're talking about?
No, no, is it, that was...
That's something that needs to be an additional item.
That's additional items to discuss, okay. Yeah. Okay, we'll turn it over at that then, Carol. Any other questions? Result of the Board of Education does hereby accept the minutes of the committee meeting held on 7/20/10. Got it, committee?
Did we vote on that?
Oh, I'm sorry. Under A, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Now under B. Resolved the Board of Education does hereby accept the minutes of the committee meeting held on 7/20. By Richard.
Second.
Okay, by Carol. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Result that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education the approval of the CSE recommendation dated 8/10/10.
Motion.
Richard.
Second.
Seconded by Carol. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Result that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education the approval of the CPSE recommendations dated 8/10/10.
Motion.
Richard. By Carol. Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Personnel. Result that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the creation of a physical therapist position in accordance with the civil service competitive classification.
Motion.
By Richard. Seconded by Carol. Any discussion on this?
This year's what is coming back because of the...
From BOCES.
BOCES. Coming back, yeah, from BOCES. We discussed this at budget time. Yeah.
This was the one of those two positions that we brought back from BOCES.
Back, yeah.
Actually, we're saving money here.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Your appointments. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to appoint Tracy Gillard to a 10-month competitive civil service title of physical therapist effective 9/1/10 with a salary of $50,498 for 2010-11 school year. Mrs. Gerard's probation period will be from 9/1/10 through 3/9/11.
Motion.
Second.
Motion by Leonard. I'm sorry, Carol, was that Carol?
Yes.
And by Carol. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to appoint the following probationary appointments as indicated. And just before we move the list, under Rachel Belson, just as a, her tenure area will be from birth to grade sixth, not grade two, birth to grade sixth. And that's the only change on that.
With the change.
Okay, Richard.
Second.
Seconded by Pauline. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
We have a bunch of people out there.
Yeah, I can introduce them.
Yep.
And at this time, I apologize for our new hires that I didn't get my way back to say hello and welcome you this evening, but it certainly would be very nice for the board to see you, and I'm sure now you're smiling faces. So as I call out your name, would you please at least rise so we can thank you and welcome you? Stephanie LaValle? Stephanie here? There's Stephanie. Rachel Belson. Rachel. Alexis Agnew. Hi, Alexis. Rachel Dingman. I know I saw Rachel earlier. There we go. Right. Thank you. Behind the post there. Thank you. And Antonia Esposito. Is Antonia here? There she is. Congratulations.
Congratulations. Resolved that the superintendent of the schools recommends to the Board of Education to change the appointment of Elizabeth Johnson as a non-competitive school lunch cashier to that of a provisional school lunch cashier effective 9/7/10. This change is due to the fact that 20 hours or more per week changes the jurisdictional class from non-competitive to competitive. Motion by Richard, seconded by Carol.
I have a question on this. Is this going to create any kind of a problem by not having it posted?
Better question, I think, or the first question, you've been very kind in not wording it that way, I think, is the position really should have been posted. Both Roxanne and I recognize it after the fact. However, in our investigation, now to get at your question directly, in our investigation of the impact of it not posting, we don't believe it has an impact because other than a delay of a week or two, depends on when the board handles the recommendations that are being brought forward, we don't think that there will be anyone bidding in to that as a result of the posting because of the those who are eligible to bid would be their hours would be either reduced or their salary would be reduced to take the positions. So we made the assumption after we realized the oversight that there is no quote impact.
In other words, you don't have to go to civil service or anything like that.
No, that's our understanding. We would not need to do that. So that's the piece that we recognized late. Because there is no list.
Oh.
Okay. Thank you, Joanne. Thank you.
Well, I didn't bring it up before because I didn't catch this, but I had a call from someone in the district complaining that it wasn't posted. Someone who isn't here that was going to apply for it and can't. So my question is, as long as someone, I know what you're saying, and after the fact you want to assume, but to me, we've made it a policy to always post everything, and I don't want to not do it one time, and then, because I'm saying, there might well be, this is one person calling me asking why isn't it being posted, but if we don't, I guess we just had a recent position that we weren't going to post, but we said, well, we're going to post it because of the appearance that we would always post the administrative position. So I don't think this is any different, that if it's competitive, if it's what it says, how can it be competitive if we don't post it? And I understand, and I'm not finding fault, I'm just saying, we just went ahead and made it a point saying, well, we're not gonna do this. And I know it was an oversight, but.
Right, it was.
And I was on the other side last time, but now, I'm a convert. I'm just saying, you guys convinced me last time that we shouldn't do it. So, yeah. And I saw the reasoning of that, and I think that, although it's a pain in the behind at this time, I really think we should post it just to CYA, to show everybody that we're trying to be fair about it.
If I understand the problem with posting this now is we will start shorthanded. We will not have this position to start with. Or somebody's going to be without a job for a couple weeks.
What's the leak? Legal ramifications are?
I think based upon what I heard Scott say, that at this point, if you check with civil service, there is no list.
That's correct.
There's no existing list.
And it would not be required.
This person will have to take the call for the test, and this person will have to take it, and she has to score in the top three. Or she will not maintain her position.
But who else is taking it?
Well, they haven't called for the test yet. So they haven't called for the test.
They don't do that predictably and regularly. Yeah.
This is just to be on this. I have to look at it more closely, but what you're saying, you check the civil service, and it isn't a legal impediment to appointing this person.
The person qualifies the vote position.
Right.
It's not on the list. The civil service will call for the list after you give them the name, and anybody can take the test.
At that time.
And then it'll be determined who stays in the position.
Okay. So,
but is
that
it?
That obviously will be publicized at that point.
That's correct.
Call
yes.
That's after the fact. I think the intent is public presentation of the position. So.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't we the only school that offers this position as is that requires the test? This just happened in the last Yeah, I don't think there's any other school that requires this. This is why the test, it was something that happened there one time, and so I don't think you're going to see the test offered.
No, civil service will give the test.
They will have to once we do this?
Yes.
Because we did it this way, or?
Because there is no existing list, they will give the test.
They will.
Of people who apply?
Well, once they advertise it, anybody can apply, and as long as they meet the qualifications, they can take the test.
Which, they may get people, they may not.
And then the highest performing.
It's got to be in the top three, right? We can pick from the top three, right?
Yes.
Which seems to be at the legal issue, but back, your question is really more the protocol, perhaps?
Well, that, well, the same thing happened before.
Yeah.
I said, we don't need to, but everybody said, well, we have to because of reception. So I see no way out of where we put ourselves, because before, I, you know, I said, well, let's not do it. Well, if everybody thought we had to do it for another position, how can we not do it for every position?
Correct.
That's all I'm saying. You know, I understand what happened. I'm not finding fault.
I understand.
I just think we just backed ourselves into a wall that happened.
No, I don't know if it's backing ourselves up to a wall. It's more about, we need to decide what we want to do. Pick one and stick with it, so.
Yep.
So what do we have to do with this?
So, and I think we probably have people apply outside. Where people inside, if they took the job and they didn't get in the top three, they couldn't keep it. Well, someone who doesn't have a job is going to take it.
This person is an existing employee that works in the cafeteria. Her hours are increasing, so now she has to go take the test.
Yeah.
So she's moving from a probationary appointment to provisional where she has to go take the test now.
I understand.
She's under 20 hours and she didn't have to take the test.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is, it's anybody else, like usually what's only a part-time job, I'm going to apply for it.
So we have to pull D off.
That's what I'm saying.
So I'm saying there's probably going to be a lot of people apply for it. So I understand what you're saying. This is one person, but, you know, she might not score in the top three.
The superintendent pulls the D off the agenda.
But you won't know that until you give the test.
I understand that, but then we put her in there and then we can't keep her.
Civil service will not give the test until we make an appointment.
I know that, but, like I said, it doesn't matter.
Okay, yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's legal or not. We've already established the protocol.
Yeah, it's a protocol thing.
Yeah.
Anybody else have any questions? And we'll, I think, Stan, anything to say? Elaine, Kathy? Okay, I think the superintendent has a recommendation.
Yeah, I would, given the questions raised about the, as the recommendation currently reads, then I would respectfully pull it from the agenda for an action item. And I believe it affects the next letter as well, does it not, Joanne? Letter D is also the connected piece to it. So I would respectfully have the minister indicate that I will pull those two as a recommendation so that we can get more of the right things in place to be able to hopefully come back, as we hope is going to happen, with the very same proposals. But it'll be a little bit from a week or so from now.
So Richard and Carol, you'll need to pull your motion, withdraw your motion. Okay. And then the superintendent's pulling C and D off.
That's C and D.
Yes.
C and D.
Because it's one as a result of the other one.
Okay, we'll move on to E. Resolve that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the following temporary on-call appointments beginning the date indicated.
Motion.
Somebody, Richard?
Second.
Second by Carol. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Under F, resolved that superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the following substitute appointments beginning on the date indicated.
Move the list.
Somebody, Richard?
Second.
Somebody, Carol? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to appoint the following civil service probationary appointment as indicated.
Second.
Somebody, Richard. Second by Carol. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that the board president make the following committee appointments for 2010-11 school year. My phone wasn't ringing off the wall, so I kind of thought maybe everybody was okay with what.
Well, it's not on here, but I'll make a motion.
With where they left them. Do we? Stan, does we need a motion on that? No. These are just appointments.
Okay.
And Stan, I kind of gave you like a year off because you've been real busy. So any of these committees you would like to sit in on, please jump in.
Yeah, just come talk to us.
And help out.
I'll recoup a bit. And if somebody needs me to fill in, I'll gladly.
Okay. Stan is the fill-in.
But you aren't changing your phone number.
Four nine three sixty six oh two.
I get that for the budget too. You wait. You're gonna love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, on the slide. That's
yeah. Right.
Actually,
okay. Under I. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education the following extracurricular positions for the 2010-11 school year as indicated. And I have a couple changes on this one, too. On the second page, page 5, the fourth line down under FTA, there will be only one position. You'll cross out Matt Tulaski. That position will go to one person at the one person rate, the $1,187. And then under the bottom, third from the bottom, under Yorker Club, be the same thing. That will go to one person. Matt Tulaski will be crossed off, and the salary will be for one person. Those are the only changes in that one.
I'll make a motion on the list with correction.
Okay. Motion by Richard.
Second.
Second by Leonard. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Miscellaneous. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to ratify the agreement between the Beatmantown Support Staff Association, Local 3886, NYSET, AFT, NEA, AFL-CIO, and the Beatmantown Central School District, covering the period July 1st, 2010 through June 30th, 2013.
Motion.
3686.
Second.
Motion by, what's that?
3686, you said 3886.
I'm sorry.
That's
36, yeah, that's 6. Excuse me, my glasses are all messed up, so. Motion by Richard, was that?
No, by me.
Motion by Leonard. Seconded by who?
Richard.
Have a roll call, please.
Aaron Armstrong, Kathy Buckley.
Yes.
Leonard King.
Yes.
Stan Kurowski?
Yes.
Richard Levine?
Yes.
Ed Marin?
Yes.
Daryl Ray?
Yes.
Colleen Stone?
Yes.
Steve Trombley?
Yes.
I want to thank the board members on the negotiations team working tirelessly to bring forth this contract. Obviously, it was a successful one as ratified by the association, so thank you, members.
Okay. That's a good way to start the school year.
It is.
Yes.
It is.
That one's done, yes. Under B, resolved that superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the contract between the Beatmantown Central School District and Champlain Valley Sports Medicine and Rehabilitation Program, Champlain Valley Physicians Hospital Medical Center for athletic trainer services beginning 8/16/10 and ending 6/3/11 in the amount of $6,000. Motion by Richard.
Carol.
Second by Carol. Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I think their price has been the same for like 4 years now, so we can't complain on that.
Mm-hmm.
Under C, resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the purchase and adding the following textbook to the approved textbook list.
Motion.
Motion by Richard.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Stan.
I think
discussion?
I think we should table.
Table the book?
Mm-hmm. Just take a glance at your site. So I think there's going to be some questions about that course that we're going to have to make.
All based on your...
We approved this course last year.
Based on your...
Right? Yeah, the curriculum was okay.
Additional item?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is the curriculum that we approved at the last meeting.
Yeah.
I think we should rescind it for now.
We'll just delay this. I have a comment on it also when she's
yep.
I wanted to do the course last time, and but I've been looking at it, and the reason I want to look at it again is I understand the intent is to get people better prepped for the next grade. I understand that, and I don't have a problem with that. But my concern is if these kids are already at risk, and I don't know how many of them are. Probably a B student, an A student could probably handle it. But we've said before here that it, you can't teach a whole book in a year. It can't be done. So if they're, if eighth grade, if they're already at risk at eighth, and you add more content, they're not going to make it. Mm-hmm. So I guess our choice then is, do we want to, by to fix ninth grade, do we want to destroy eighth grade? Or if someone has trouble in ninth grade, do you want them in AIS or something to give them extra help? Because my point is, some kids will do this, and they will, the vision will take care of them. But if you're, if you're just barely able to pass, and then you're adding the next year's content, mm-hmm. you're not. And that's my concern. I mean, when it was presented to us, you know, it sounded plausible, but you're going to lose kids here. So I guess my comment would be, would you rather them get past the regular course, get them in ninth grade, and give them the help if they need it, or do you end up failing them in eighth grade? And then what are we going to do? That, to me, you have to have, you have to show to me, what are we going to do for the eighth graders that are marginal?
Okay.
That's my concern.
Okay. So all right. So the thing here is, so we're talking about the book right now. So you right. guys are requesting we bring the curriculum back for discussion at another meeting.
Right.
Yeah. Because I mean, if someone can show me how it can be done, then you know, then I'll gladly support it. But my point is, I've been through school, and this kid barely passing a grade.
Would.
So I just need to know, are they taking parts out of the eighth to make room for the ninth?
Okay.
You know, and that's what I'm saying. If you're going to go up to ninth, if you get the stuff that they said they're not getting in eighth, they're going to give to them. But then the stuff that they need for the test might not be in there because they can't cover it. Because now you have to make room for the extra. Right. So I need to know, has there been a replacement of some of the curriculum to the other, but to have this, like, the same basic load, mm-hmm. or do they have the full curriculum from eighth with ninth added?
Okay, so
that's my question.
So we understand the question.
Yeah, I'm not
so against. We will bring that back at our next meeting for discussion, mm-hmm. And we'll get a report on it. My question is, if we don't do anything with that, and the questions are answered to our liking, do you want to vote on this book tonight and bring the whole thing back for discussion? And if we do end up rescinding it, rescind the whole thing so that this is already approved, or do you just want to pull this off? This would have to be put on to the next.
It's a procedure thing, so how does it, I mean, do you want to approve it and then rescind it? I don't know.
I'd just as soon approve it and have it ready. And if we are going to make changes, we can do it as a package.
Okay.
But at least if concerns are answered, then everything is a go. Yeah. We're not delayed in having that classroom ready.
Okay. Because somebody's still a distribution, won't. So
right. But that's gonna you have to buy all those books, and if they can't.
No, they won't do it. They're gonna approve temporarily. Okay. And then if everybody's agreed with the explanation, then they have time to do it.
Yeah, there's no timeline on when we buy the book.
Right. Right.
You know, I'm under pressure to do that.
Pauline, anything?
Yeah, it's like waiting for another whole board. I'd rather approve it and then just go ahead with it and be ready for schools.
Kathy? Everybody okay with that?
Yep.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, under eight. Be it resolved that the Beatontown Central School District authorize the issuance of serial bonds in the amount not to exceed $402,544.10 for the purchase and funding of 3 65-passenger school buses and 1 48-passenger school bus with wheelchair station, and issue a bond anticipation note in the amount of $402,544.10 with the interest therein at the lowest available rate, to be issued in anticipation of the issuance of the serial bond herein authorized for the purchase and funding of 65 passenger school buses and 1 48 passenger school bus with wheelchair station, and be it further resolved that the board president, or in his absence the board vice president, be authorized to execute all documents necessary for the issuance of the bond anticipation note upon such terms and for the purpose authorized. Wow.
What? Lot to say.
I have a motion.
Oh, motion, sorry.
Richard?
Second.
Could you reread that again?
Seconded by Pauline. Your phone number's still the same. Seconded by Pauline. Any discussion? Can I have a roll call, please?
Karen Armstrong. Kathy Buckley.
Yes.
Leonard King.
Yes.
Stan Kroski.
I guess if I'm not going to get a reread. Yeah.
Richard Levine.
Yes.
Ed Marin.
Yes.
Daryl Ray.
Yes.
Pauline Stone.
Yes.
Steve Trombley.
Yes.
Oh, and by the way, Leonard, you know you said we'd be the only ones with four white buses. You will not believe this. On my vacation coming back, I saw two fleets with over 65 buses. They had one each with a white.
All the whites on top?
One.
Yeah.
So we won't be so odd.
Under B, resolved that Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the following transfers over $5,000.
Motion.
You have a list. Motion by Richard.
Second.
Seconded by Stan. Any questions? Have a roll call, please.
Karen Armstrong. Kathy Buckley.
Yes.
Leonard King.
Yes.
Stan Kroski.
Yes.
Richard Levine.
Yes.
Ed Marin.
Yes.
Daryl Ray.
Yes.
Pauline Stone.
Yes.
Steve Trombley.
Yes. Okay. Anybody want me to read all these whereases?
No. We don't understand it anyway.
There is one I want you to read.
Which one?
Or okay. At least I want to ask a question on.
Oh, yeah, we can ask questions on this.
Okay.
Board of Education has been authorized by the voters at the annual school meeting to raise the current budget for the 2010-2011 school year in a sum not to exceed $16,334,556. Would you like all the wherefores?
I'll make the motion to get it on the table for discussion.
Okay.
I'll second.
By Stan. Seconded by Richard. Questions?
No, actually, this isn't one I could question. It's the next one.
We can whereas that one, too. That one I can read. Any questions on the lowering of the tax rate some more?
No, I read that twice. I was shocked. I looked at it the first time. I said, that's not the amount. And then looked back and said, oh, it's more.
22 or 23 so cents more, right?
It was a good surprise.
Yeah, it was all right.
Very nice.
Roll call, please.
Who made that motion? Stan.
Stan and then Richard.
Karen Armstrong. Kathy Buckley.
Yes.
Leonard King.
Yes.
Stan Kroski.
Most assuredly, yes.
Richard Levine.
Yes.
Ed Marin.
Yes.
Daryl Ray.
Yes.
Pauline Stone.
Yes.
Steve Trombley.
Yes. Whereas the Board of Education, in accordance with Article 5A of the General Municipal Law, invited sealed bids for one new 3/4-ton, 4-wheel-drive, regular cab pickup, 8-foot box, 9,000 GVW or greater, with an automatic transmission, gas engine, 5.4-liter or greater, tow package and plow package, which bids were opened publicly on 7/26/10, and whereas one bid was received, and therefore be it resolved that the Board of Education hereby determines that DeRocher Auto Sales Incorporated, 92 Elizabeth Street, Plattsburgh, is the lowest responsible bidder who complied with the bid specifications, and be it further resolved that the Board President is hereby authorized to execute a purchase agreement with DeRocher Auto Sales Incorp upon approval of same by school attorney.
Motion.
Motion by Richard.
Yeah.
Seconded
by Carol. Questions?
Yes. I thought we put aside to have two trucks bought this year. How come we're only purchasing one?
Ron, help me with our budget history here.
We had one truck in the budget, one conference car, and one driver's ed vehicle. Those were the individual items that were in the budget. For a total of $56,000, mm-hmm. budgeted for those three vehicles.
Oh, I thought we were going to place both the trucks that they asked for last year.
We did, exactly. And I know we did it in the operations committee.
Yeah, the $56,000 is what I was told that it was for the two trucks.
Well,
we may have.
I think there was some confusion about that. The request, if I recall, the request came through the transportation department, but when we communicated with that about it being a maintenance vehicle, it was always talked about being a maintenance vehicle. I think Mr. Brink was under the impression we were speaking about his maintenance vehicle. Mr. Noonan was under the impression we were speaking about his maintenance vehicle, but only one truck actually made it through the paperwork process during the budget requisition time.
So they only requested one.
Only one made it.
Only one was actually requested.
We were speaking of a maintenance vehicle.
Right. Only one was actually requested.
One was requested, but it was a discussion of whose was it, and it was the,
well, I
it
guess
was the
next
one that was pulled off the road. That
next question, where's that going to put us?
Yeah, what kind of problem are we going to have? Because last year we said that the one that we had couldn't make it a year, and now we're going to be another year with the same one.
Well, I guess the only understanding, the only question is, can we still get one? To me, can we still do it?
Gotta have the money.
No.
It's not budgeted.
If you do not get the other two vehicles, because there's $56,000 in the budget for vehicles, so if the board decides not to move on the conference vehicle or the driver's ed vehicle,
how'd you end up with the other
two? We already approved
those. Those were also requested through the request process.
Yeah, they did it right. We approved those. So I would think it would have to be extra, but I don't know.
Yeah, but I thought that the amount of that was for the two trucks. I don't remember the other two.
I don't remember the other two vehicles either.
So when did the
Yeah, they were in the budget.
They
were in the budget.
No, but I mean, they were
in the public budget documents. It said vehicles. It did not, only on the internal documents, it differentiated between these three vehicles. So,
and that's because those are the requests that were made.
Right. You don't have to purchase those items. But this maintenance truck was the priority because this replaces the one that's been off the road for the greater part of half a year. And then Mr. Brink is looking into the possibility of donating a driver's ed vehicle at this point, so that would solve that.
But the
if the board moves a driver's ed vehicle, you know, just there was $56,000 in the budget for the purchase of vehicles.
So it's a last minute decision to get the other two.
No.
Well, that would be up for discussion, I guess.
The other two vehicles, you mean? No, those were requisitions that were turned in that they were asked for. Mm-hmm. So they were done through the proper channels, requested them, and put into the budget.
Yeah, the problem is that the price range was really close. We did talk about the two, but the other two were requested, not through our committee.
Mm-hmm. Brought it up
so
what we
four,
thought.
Right. And one thought he was getting the one, and the other guy thought he was getting the one. So they didn't say, well, you don't have mine in there, so it didn't get added.
Got it. Okay.
This amount notwithstanding, this recommendation notwithstanding, look, I guess I turned the question back, and if I'd realized that I brought the budget book, how much is in the budget for purchase?
$56,000, I believe,
for
purchase of vehicles.
And so this proposal speaks to, as it stands, 28 of it.
Correct. So you could
so there's still
again, and if you had
you
another
could still that's
exact,
the, that's where I'm going with this.
You would have
there's a margin
money
up to that amount to go out to bid and get a second vehicle if do that is what we want to do.
Do we have a priority ranking for the three? As far as I know that the maintenance vehicles were really necessary, but how about the other two? Are they as higher priority?
Well, I'll ask our two supervisors and understand their biases are going to come out as I speak that. Shane, would you like to go first on that question?
Well, I think priority, Dan would think priority because he does need a truck. His truck is down. They've been minus one truck most of the year. But our truck is just in bad shape. Not as bad shape as it's going on. Still use it around the district, but it is 95. The other truck was in 2001, and we do need a search truck.
And the third vehicle in there was the van?
The third vehicle was the driver ed and the conference vehicle.
And in sequence, you'd place that one third in your list?
The conference car would be the third vehicle, yes.
Okay.
Well, to me, there's a If the money for the second bid falls in, I have a suggestion. Because if we don't have a conference car, we can still pay mileage for the year. But we have no other way to get the truck. So is there a way we can get a bid and see if it'll fall within what we budgeted? And then instead of getting another conference, if we don't have one, then we'll pay a mileage.
We'll do the mileage, right. I think that's what I'm asking. That's what you're leaning toward doing is place the car as the outside preference and with permission, obviously based off of one bid, the margin of difference between this bid and the next bid on the second truck would be what we'd try to put out for bids.
Would it be the same? Are you looking for the same vehicle? Or would it be different?
Pretty much roughly, yes. Because we want something with a plow also, so it's going to be truck.
It's going to run pretty close to the same amount.
So if they gave us one at that price, they'll probably give us two.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean.
Well, we
maybe even a little. You'd have to bid it again, yeah. Sure.
But I'm sure that we already
purchased
one.
If you bid two, though, would they give us a lower rate?
I don't know, but I don't believe so.
Because they responded to one open bid item.
And
they probably aren't going to negotiate off it.
The prices of the vehicles were pretty basic and standard. They didn't have much leeway between them, so giving us two that they couldn't provide.
Yeah, hopefully we get the same price.
But we might be able to, doing it again, we might get a little bit more bids because so I know people missed the bid deadline and they wanted to bid on it, but they missed it.
Yeah, and direct us to move ahead with it. Okay.
And then the conference vehicle, we still have the school vans, but this past year they were being utilized for student transport, which took priority over using it for conference. So that was where the idea came from, well, let's pick up a conference vehicle. So if those student needs don't exist next year, then the vans are still available for the use or sporadic use of conference. It just becomes very costly to pay mileage.
And what about the driver ed vehicle, Shane?
Driver ed vehicle is really still in decent shape, but again, you're talking about a vehicle that's a 99. A thought could be, like I'm exploring, is trying to, I've been around to most of the dealers today, trying to see if we can get a driver ed car donated to us, and that could actually move our driver ed car that we have now into a conference car.
No, that's a good move.
Okay. So, all right. So we're
looking. At least this way we have options.
So, all right. So we're going to need to.
We could go definitely another year with the driver ed car that we have now.
Okay.
Well,
thank you.
Well, then we can approve this then. Because
so we need a motion in this first.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a motion.
Yep.
I believe I need a roll. I need a roll call, please.
Aaron Armstrong, Kathy Buckley, yes. Leonard King, yes. Dan Brosby,
yes.
Richard Levine,
yes.
Ed Marin,
yes.
Carol Race.
Yes.
Colleen Stone,
yes.
Sue Drumblade,
yes. And it's my understanding we're directing the superintendent to go out for bid for a second truck? Okay.
And then next, we'll just put the other ones on next year's budget.
Okay.
If we need them.
Okay. Ron, did you have a question?
That was going to be my question.
That was it. Okay. Yep.
Should we move forward with that?
Yes. Yes. Whereas the board has established a reserve fund pursuant to 365(1)(1A) and 3A of the education law to pay judgments and claims in tax certiorari proceedings, and whereas all of the applicable tax certiorari proceedings for Champlain South associations have been settled and compromised or have expired, leaving a residual balance of $75,127.82 in such reserve fund, which will not reasonably be required to pay any judgment or claims. Therefore, be it resolved that the board hereby returns such monies in the amount of $75,127.82 to the general fund.
Motion.
A motion by Richard.
Second.
Seconded by Carol. Any questions? Have a roll call, please.
Aaron Armstrong. Kathy Buckley.
Yes.
Leonard King.
Yes.
Dan Brosky.
Yes.
Andrew Levine.
Yes.
Ed Marin.
Yes.
Carol Race.
Yes.
Stone.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, under additional items to discuss, reclassification of building maintenance worker.
I included, I think, the background information in your updates. I can go through it again, but I'm pretty sure you must have had a chance to read through it. And that's really why it was just, it's brought forward just as to what to do, because of the various contacts through civil service would have indicated there are some things that are workable and some things by title aren't. And so as I indicated last time, I would bring that data forward to see what this information does with the board's wishes.
Now, what's this reclassification going to do first for, you got to have a wage category there. Do we have that established or anything like that?
I'm not sure if I'm following you correctly. The new title, mm-hmm. would it's not in anybody's contract right
That's
now,
why
so
I'm
it
saying
would require agreeing or negotiating on some salary.
Do we have any idea where we...
I hadn't gone that far yet, because I really didn't know if it was the board's wishes to even pursue that.
Does this position, you know, actually cover what needs to be done? I mean, can they do, with the way it's worded, can they do what they need to do with it?
You're picking up the question, because of the reclassification, to do the job description we sent them would require that reclassification, right. And the job description we sent them was the work the board asked to be done.
Right.
So I guess Ron, the answer would be yes.
Was that on that 20%?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the formulation that we built it on, the 20% supervision, the 80% of the work task. We submitted that information to civil service and said, we don't know what title it is, you tell us. And the explanations I provided basically sort out that it can't be this and it can't be that, but it could be this.
Okay, now the other question is what part of the, whose contract will they go into?
Non-instructional.
Non-instructional?
Would be made non-instructional.
No.
No, Jerry, I'm sorry.
It goes to the support staff supervisors. Support staff supervisors. We discussed that last meeting.
Support staff, okay.
Yeah. Supervisors.
Okay. But
they still can do maintenance work even though they're a supervisor then? I don't want to get it so we can't have them doing maintenance work.
Yes, I believe you checked on that and we said yes, right?
Yeah, that's what we wrote it as, 20% supervisory responsibility. We didn't ask them what unit they belong to.
Are you going to be crossing over a contract?
Mrs. Ben has given you an update on that one. But the position itself was 20% supervision, 80% work. Their classification became, I'm senior building maintenance worker, and I'm picking up just a quick response from Jerry on that question. Yeah. Which unit would they go to? And that's the piece that I'm just learning.
Once you have any supervision at all, you can't be in the basic contract.
Right, which they're not going to be.
Right.
But they can still do maintenance work.
Yes. But they can't, the classification.
They just have to be in the supervisors.
1% supervision, you can't be in the regular contract.
They got to be in the support staff supervisor's contract, yes. Yeah, I think we knew that last week. Yes, they can do
that. Because they're basically an administrator, even though it's a minor part of their job, they're still an administrator.
Yep. So I assume we're proceeding with.
Yeah.
That's the question. If the work task desired to be completed is matched by a title called senior building maintenance worker,
right.
There are at least two steps, probably maybe a third, that would need to follow.
Okay.
One would be that the appropriate location for that job would be determined. Mrs. Bennett has indicated it has to move from one unit to another.
Yep.
The second would be we'd have to establish a pay range for it, and then civil service could then tell us who is there to hiring to fill the position.
Okay. So the first question, everybody is comfortable with the job description as it was written in your update?
Oh, it's not competitive, excuse me. So we don't even have to ask civil service for that. We would just advertise. Okay, thank you. We don't even need to go through civil service on that. Thanks, Joanne.
So are we asking him to proceed then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't, we're not going to have one.
Okay. We'll proceed with that.
Thank you.
Anybody else have any additional items you'd like to bring up right now?
I have something, but I think it's going to be part of what she talked about, so I'm not going to bring it up.
Okay.
Right now.
Yeah. Carol, you had something you wanted to bring up under additional?
This is the time to bring up what we're talking about.
You'd like to review that?
I talked about Kim Gadway.
You can read it from YouTube.
I can research it. I don't know how to respond to it at this very moment. Because the...
Excuse me, Scott, could you read?
Oh, I'm sorry, you want me to read it? I'm sorry.
In an open session?
Can you do that?
Is it?
No, it's a person. No, it says a name.
It's got names in there.
No, we can't.
No,
can't.
No,
can't do it.
Okay. Then
we'd have to read an executive.
We'd have to go to executive.
Yeah, this has got to go to executive.
Okay. I can't, we'll go to executive.
I'm sorry, that's fine. That's my fault. I should have picked
that's
up
fine.
On
that.
Keep me in line, buddy. Okay.
That'll be under personnel.
Yeah, personnel.
Any other items anyone wants to discuss? Board retreat is still going to be August 20th?
Week from Friday.
Week from Friday. What time had we set?
5:30.
5:30?
Set 5.
5, that's right, too, 5, so they could have dinner.
Oh.
You can change the time, you did set 5.
It's better earlier because we have someone getting us something to eat. I don't want them to have to stay late.
Just leave.
Five, still good with everybody? 20th? Okay. And we'll get.
Okay.
It's gonna be tough.
Okay. We'll allow another time for public comment, if anybody would like to address the board.
As the president of the SSA, I'm here to represent everybody in saying that this negotiations session was actually enjoyable. Great board members, Mr. Amo, there was no animosity, there was no arguing back and forth. I think both sides realize that it's a tough time now, and we had to have concessions on both sides, but I think it was an absolutely very fair contract, and that went so at our meeting with a 74-5 vote. So again, on behalf of the whole association, thank you.
Thank you, Jerry, thank you for your work. Any other public comment? Moving on. We do have a short executive session to discuss the employment history of a particular person's.
Make a motion that we go into executive session.
I need a clerk pro tem first.
He probably would be my call.
I'll second that most wholeheartedly.
Richard. Seconded by Stan. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
We will.
Need a motion to go into executive session?
Also move.
Second.
By Stan.
In a 5 minute.
Seconded by Richard. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
5 minute recess?
5 minutes. We're not going to do anything when we come back, right?
No.
There may be discussion when we come back. There's a slight possibility there may be action taken.